Okay, so let's begin. We have a lot of work to do. We have to finish the Gemara in Sanhedrin today, and Tosfos and Machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam, and set us up for tomorrow for the Milchamos and the Ran, and then God willing on Thursday, time permitting, to try to understand Shitas HaRambam. Israel, explain the four Shitos in the Rishonim in terms of the gather of Karka Olam. A little louder. What does Rashi say?
If woman has no active role, then she's not.
Which Rashi are you referring to? Rashi in Yuma, Rashi in Sanhedrin? Okay, what are the four Shitos? Ben Sion.
So you have Rabbeinu Tanano, let's say. And so basically, Karka Olam only applies if the man is forcibly.
Literally, tvasa biyadayim. Okay, so any slight action on her part already puts it together to hayarig val tavor. Okay, let's go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, who's perhaps most permissive.
The Baal
HaMor on the first day in Tosfos. So to say that's not the Girsa. The Girsa is yaharig val yavor. The Girsa isn't hayarig val tavor. And then we have these kind of two middle shitos, which are represented by. Exactly, then it would be back to Yehoreg Val Yavor, but Tavor Val Tehoreg, and then we explored Shitas Rashi, we tried to figure it out, we were pretty confident if you put together the Rashi and Yuma, Virayil Dabar Esther with Rashi and Masechta Megillah, that it only enters the realm of Tehoreg Val Tavor. Again, you still have the question, well, how should he be allowed to do it? That's all Sarab Mishu, Tosus, and the Rashba that we dealt with yesterday. But effectively, the idea is, if she's, premeditated fashion, initiating Ubechein, Avol, Amelech, Asher, Lo Chadas, V'chasher Avadati Avati, implying the Isser Labal, Isser Labal, that this is in fact an issue of Gilui Arayus, which is the only thing that could result in an Isser Labal, Isser Labal. So those appear to be the four Shitos that we explored. The second point that we were really developing yesterday is that there are different levels in the Gemara. So even though there are multiple situations where you could implicate Yehoreg Val Yavor, right, we have the Gimel Chamuros, then we have Shas Hashmad, and then we have the Din of Farhesia. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it would appear that there are different mechayvin that are involved. Eitan, what am I referring to? Oh, okay. So then in terms of Farhesia, there's a totally different mechayiv, the mechayiv of Chil Hashem, and of course the need for Kiddush Hashem as well. When it comes to the Gimel Chamuros, nobody brought up this issue, right? It's possible that you can retroject that into the earlier phase of the Gemara, but there are different limudim, right? What was the limud for Avodah Zarah Noam? That was an issue of Avas Hashem. Guys, al tagam game el amor lo miyad. Sharp. Sharp. No laxity. Across the board. Okay, Avas Hashem, that's with respect to Avodah Zarah. What with respect to Gilo Arayos and Shichos Damim? We put them together. What do we know? Eitan? Ki kasher yakumish al reyu utzacho nefesh kena davar azeh. Hareza balalamed v'nim tzalamed.
Just as it's yihari val yavor by shrikh zlamim, so too we say anything by gilar.
Exactly. V'rotzeach gufa minalan. And how do we even know that that's true in terms of shrikh zlamim?
Either let yourself be killed rather than killed.
Miyemar de dama didach sumak tvei. Dilma dama de hao gavra sumak tvei. And we need that because that's exactly the issue that we're talking about in terms of passivity. Karka Olam, to try to figure out, well, what exactly is allowed with respect to Arayos, if it's really Nidrash from this Svara that requires absolute passivity. Okay, so the last point that we had been discussing yesterday was, we haven't yet dealt with the issue of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. Why aren't we asking from Gilu Arayos when it comes to Esther? But the Gemara assumes, apparently, whatever reason, that that's not the appropriate question. The Gemara rather wants to know, V'Esther Farhesya Havi. By the way, that forced us to redefine B'Farhesya, right? It's not Bifnei Asar Mishrael, but at least people know about it. So that's going to be considered sufficiently B'Farhesya. And then we had a Machlokes Amorai. We had a Machlokes between Abaye and Rava. What exactly was driving this, okay? So Abaye explains, gotta come on time. Okay, Yehuda? Oh, okay. So Abaye thinks that the issue of Chilul Hashem is actually solved by her fundamental passivity. Her fundamental passivity is sufficient to solve the problem of Chilul Hashem. You can't say that there's a Chilul Hashem when a person is not doing any Maisa Aveira. A Chilul Hashem, to conceptualize this, has to be pursuant to a Maisa Aveira. Okay, so that's one approach. Rava is either unsatisfied with that or builds off of that in the following way. And Rava's approach, again, seems to be somewhat more logical. Noam? Exactly. That you can't claim that there's a Chilul Hashem where there's no intent of making any kind of religious statement. Right, Shimi, that's a profoundly logical answer. Rava's answer seems in some ways more direct than Abaye's answer. Right, you could still argue that there's a Chilul Hashem from a totsa'ah, from a particular result, even if there's no Maisa Aveira. Right, hu asa ba Maisa, vihi lo asa sa shu Maisa, but nonetheless, the result is a Chilul Hashem, that there was this act that was performed. Right, when it comes to Rava, Rava's explaining, I think, in a much more direct and comprehensive way, that you can't, Boaz, make any assertion of Chilul Hashem. Why? Boaz, put in your own terms.
I mean, Rava's saying that since like you said, she wasn't
intending
to make a religious statement.
Well, forget about her, but what is Hanas Atzman? Ilan? Exactly, that there is no religious implication here. He's doing it purely for his own enjoyment. If that's the case, doing it purely for his own enjoyment. So there's absolutely nothing that would possibly implicate, you know, a question of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem, because this isn't a religious matter altogether. This is a pure matter of Hanas Atzma. Okay, Rami, go ahead. Let's go further in the Gemara. So Rava brings his Rai. Rava Amar Hanas Atzma Shaini, Dilose Mahachi, Anikvaki, Dumaniki. Okay. So what is the case of what is the case of Kvaki and Dimuniki? Remember this? How did Rashi define it? We don't have to go through the whole thing, but what's the case of Kvaki and Dimuniki? It was some chok akum that they used to gather these kinds of heating elements, these kalim that could be used for heating, and they would collect them, you know, Bal Karcha Mishal Yisrael. And were the Jews chayiv to be moser nefesh because it would be used tangentially for purposes of heating in an avodah zarah ceremony? And the idea is, well, no, it's really just for their own benefit. They should be a little bit more comfortable. So that's not an issue of chilul Hashem. No, what is interesting is when we get up to the Ran, we'll have to evaluate the question of Ilan Agis. You might have said, okay, right, so maybe it's an issue of Abzraida Avodah Zara that puts it back into the category of Gimel Chamuros. That's obviously not the assumption at this stage, okay? Very good. So Rami, go ahead.
V'azda Rava l'taymei d'amar Rava akum d'amar lei l'ha Yisrael k'tol
asafsta v'shabasa v'shadi l'chiyusa
v'ilo katlin alach. Liktol velo velo liktile, shadi lenahara liktile velo liktol, my time all leivure milsa kabayi.
Oh, okay. So, Rami, what's the Gemara saying?
The Gemara saying that you have to let yourself die in that situation.
So explain. So, this seems to be a very strong raya for Rava. What's going on? Ben Sion?
Hakum
da amar le l'hai Yisrael k'tol aspasa b'shabas. This is a malacha d'arais. It's chol Shabbos. It's nisr skila. V'shadi l'chiyusa v'ilo katil nalach. The halacha is liktol v'lo l'katle. Okay, shadi l'nahara, but if you would say just throw it into the river, okay, throw it into the river means, is anybody benefiting from this? Is any animal being fed? Of course not. So why would he possibly want the Jew to be Mechalel Shabbos? to be Mechalel Shabbos. It is a religious assault. And in that case, that's the very definition of Chil Hashem. And therefore, Liktolei, below Liktol, don't cut off this piece of grass, whatever it is, my time of the Ivuri Milsa Kavoy. So again, Rabba has a very strong principle that you have to take into account, interestingly, what the motivations are of the anas. If the anas is not motivated by anything having to do with religion, dogma, or theology, so then it can't possibly implicate Chilul Hashem or Kiddush Hashem. Now again, this only makes sense if that's the mechayiv that you're concerned about. If you're going to take the approach, as we'll develop in the Bali Atosvos, that, let's say, the Gimel Chamuros are a different mechayiv entirely, right there, it's the Chumras Ha'avera, let's say, simply being involved in an act of Shrichos Damim, even if there is no Chilul Hashem, or being involved in an act of Gilui Arayos, even if there is no Chilul Hashem, right? Or Avodah Zarah, even if there is no Chilul Hashem that's implicated, but the Chumras Ha'avera itself is the mechayiv, so it may not matter, or it likely wouldn't matter, what the motivation of the anas of the aggressor was. But if the question is one of Chil Hashem, so you have to ask yourself, is this a religious event or not? And Hanas Atzman means that it's categorically defined as outside of the boundaries and the scope of a religious event. Okay, very good. Let's now just finish off the Gemara. The Ravid already alluded to this in the parallel but opposite case. So now let's deal with the issue of Hela Libotina. We'll see Rashi, and then we'll be better ready to spend the rest of Shir today on the Machokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam, which is just absolutely central as far as our understanding of this sugya is concerned. This is the critical issue, but let's first make sure that we have Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. Okay. Jimmy, go ahead. Okay, so the doctors, and again, let's remind ourselves. Okay, so the halacha looks to doctors in situations of pikuach nefesh. So the doctors have categorically defined this as a case of sakanas nefashos. Okay. So you have this situation where an individual based on emotional pathology is incapable of living without having relations with this particular woman. Okay? Now, we don't know her status as of yet. So the question is, what is the halacha? What is the halacha? What are we required to do to save his life? What are we required to permit to save his life? Okay, Shemi? We have to allow him to die, and she should not have relations with him. Now, the Gemara starts, you know, that's like the Avram and Sodom thing. So the Gemara starts negotiating, okay? So is there a way that, you know, we could somehow reduce some of the Chumras Ha'avera, very parallel, by the way, to which Rishon that we saw yesterday? Say, maybe we could have made this a little bit better. Not perfect, Ilan? Right, Tosfos and the Rashba, that exact issue. Of, you know, the question of Mutav Shigar Shana, Ilan, outstanding. Okay, Shimi, go ahead. So maybe Tamo the fun of Aruma. Maybe she can just talk to him and he'll have some, you know, pressure which is alleviated by that experience. Okay. Okay, so the question is, what exactly is going on here? Why are we going to require that this person die? We have the refuah, right? We started out with Chol Misrapin, Chutz Me'asei Asherah. So we're not going to save this person's life if we know that we can, even through a conversation. So what exactly is going on here? What is her status? So there's a machlokes as to whether she's an Ashes Ish or a Pnuya. Now again, you could ask, even if she's an Ashes Ish, you know, is that really an act of arayus on her part, that she's just going to talk to him? He's not even going to see her? This is obviously a very important Gemara in terms of expanding the scope of how we define arayos. V'chadomar pinuyo haisa. That in fact, she is single, she's unmarried. Now, if she's single or unmarried, the idea that this could be defined somehow as arayos is very, very difficult. So, Bishlam the Manda Mareshis is haisa shapir. So Rapapa is conceding is that it can't really be driven by internal considerations of arayos at that point. It's just too far of a reach. But he says there are social considerations. Which family would want their family to be known as the family that was associated, you know, their daughter was involved in, again, even for, you know, medicinal purposes, this kind of a conversation. V'acha b'riduviko amar. Fascinating idea. I remember when I was your age, so my rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchak Avram Tversky, so he made the point, well, what do you mean, Sheilo Yubdunas Yisrael Ptrusos Barayos, right? You're telling her, just go talk to him for 5 minutes because, you know, he has, you know, some kind of a deviancy, is a pathology, you know, so this is going to lead her to be Ptrusos Barayos? And he said, yes. Right? Because if you send her the message that she's the object of his desire, and therefore, you know, she has to allow herself to be utilized in this way, right? That's sending a very clear message and a very unhealthy and unacceptable message to her. Okay, so now the Gemara asks the question, you know, but isn't there a more comprehensive categorical solution? Okay. So the Gemara seems to accept in principle that marriage would solve the problem. V'lintzav aminzav, right? If she's amenable to it, right? Enishim miskadeshes alamidaita, right? She'd have to accept this. So the Gemara answers, l'miyasva daite. That can't save him. That might be the one halachically acceptable solution, but the sad truth is, k'der Rav Yitzchak, dam Rav Yitzchak, miyom shecharav v'samikdash, and one of the tragedies of our current existence, we'll read Rashi in a second, Rashi has some interesting formulations here, is that this is not going to help him. If it's beheter, all of a sudden, it will no longer be the same source of attraction to him. And if it's no longer the same source of attraction to him, then it's something that is simply not going to save him from certain death in the situation of Hela Libotino. Shimi, let's take a look at the Rashis. Hela Libotina.
Hela Libotina, Nimotam Miro Ava, Nitmatem, Libo, the Halefo.
Okay, what do you find interesting about this? At least for me, it's interesting. Right. Normally, we have this expression of Timtum Halev in the context of like Machalos Asuros. So this is kind of a Timtum Halev that develops, right? That he's been infected. Okay? Mishum Pegam. So this Mishpacha Saisha Shahayu Boshin Bedavar. Right? Everybody could do this. This would be a categorical and comprehensive solution. Right? There's going to be a big mitzvah. I don't think Rashi is referring to the machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam in terms of the mitzvah's kiddushin, but there'll be a big Yeshua here. There'll be Hatzalas Nefashos, V'achai Bahem. Some people like to speak romantically or poetically, you know, marriage to her saved my life. But this guy will be able to say, marriage to her saved my life, quite literally.
Lamitva date, Villa Yifra Bacha, Yom Shahar Beta Mikdash,
Koshal hakolach midaigos rabos. People have so many concerns. The world quality of life has deteriorated so far. So you can see now, just based on this Gemara, I wanted everybody to be able to see it inside. You appreciate what the Rabbi was trying to say. So Hel Alibo Tina is where it's, of course, originating from some kind of a deviancy or pathology that he developed. And Chazal took a very, very, very hard line, you know, in terms of prohibiting everything. Bein Be'eshesish, Bein Be'pnuya. Various internal considerations, external considerations, even social considerations, pegam mishpacha, shelo yubnos Yisrael, prutos barayos, and sadly commented that a chasana itself isn't going to solve the problem because of lechem sisarim yinam. Okay, now, what I think here, you know, is absolutely critical for us to relate to is the extent to which the Ravid was able to then utilize this Gemara and redefine the outer boundaries of Karka Olam, right? That if this were her situation, if she felt absolutely, urgently, irrevocably compelled towards a relationship with this individual, so the Ravid would say, that's no longer Karka Olam. And so I leave it for your thought, and it's something that I debate in my mind. You know, who sort of has the more permissive definition of Karka Olam, Rashi or the Ravid? Right, there's no question that, you know, the Baal HaMor and Rabbeinu Hanan also, they're going to be on opposite extremes of the issue. You know, for Rashi, it was this premeditated, calculated decision, I must do this for the sake of the greater good, right? The Hatzalas HaRabim is going to be necessary for us, you know, to move forward, and therefore, Kasher Avadati Avadati. You know, no, that can no longer be considered Karka Olam. Viraya Ludavar Esther. Up until that point, he ain't in a mitzvah, right, because of the principle of Lanara Losasa Davar, the principle of Karka Olam. Or the Ravid basically saying, it almost gets to a point where it's involuntary, right? There's a Timtum Halev, again, I'm using Rashi's definition, but I assume the Ravid reads the Gemara in a similar fashion, where a person is so inexorably driven to this act that there's simply no way for them to survive absent something alleviating this kind of incredible internal pressure that's built up. So I'll leave that for you as a Makom Lihizgad there to think about, you know, Rashi versus the Ravid and which one grants, if you can rank them, and maybe it's just impossible to know exactly, a more permissive definition of Karka Olam. Okay, that's number one for today. Number two, as I've alluded to, the central question that animated the Balei HaTosfos, as all of us noted, is why exactly the Gemara waited for the stage of Bifar Hesia, where the Mechayev was clearly one of Chil Hashem, to ask about Esther. Isn't Esther clearly, as we saw yesterday, based on the Gemara Megillah, a case of Gilui Arayos, V'chasher Avadati Avadati? Kasher Avadati Me'esaba Kacha V'nimcha? That is the story of Tehareg Val Tavor. Whatever you think about her justification, Aveir Lishma, Hatzalas HaRabim, whatever it was, but the fact of the matter is, right, it should be clearly a case of Gilui Arayos. Or perhaps not so clearly a case of Gilui Arayos. Okay, Ilan, Agus, go ahead.
The Sibizarva Susim Zarvasa. When we talk about Hayarutza Rabbeinu Tam, the Hatir Bas Israel Shehimira, Uvala Omed Kochavim Bishum Niskayarima, לקיימה ביהדוס, דלו שייך למי מרח הנבואה וביאסו מתפוכבים, דהביה כביאס בהימה.
אוח, אוקיי. So Rabbeinu Tam introduces what I think can fairly and non-hyperbolically be described as a revolutionary idea, that the Gemara, for very good reason, did not contemplate Esther as a situation of Giloy Arayos, in all the Gemaras that we saw notwithstanding. The Rivan is going to attack him from every direction. But in concept and in principle, because when there's a non-Jewish partner involved, that is not considered a Maisabia. Zirmas susim zirmasam. It's as if she was having an interaction with an animal. And so the Gemara never contemplated the idea, in this case, of Gilui Arayos. The only question that was left to ask was one of Chilul Hashem. For Rabbeinu Tam, Rachmana Litzlan, this was the reality of the Jewish people during the Crusades. Rabbeinu Tam lived in France, obviously, from 11 to 1171. These were not simple times in Ashkenaz and in Sarfat. So Rabbeinu Tam wanted to make the following argument. Who picked up? Levi, what was the practical halachic significance of Rabbeinu Tam's Einfeld?
It seemed like this was a problem that was happening a lot, that the Goyim were owned the same Eretz Yisrael and in his time.
But what was the specific, the very specific case?
The guy was his guy afterwards.
What happened? What did she do? There was a woman who...
Well, again, that
is not the circumstances of her becoming or affiliating, you know, with Christianity, with at that time, obviously prior to the Reformation, meant, you know, accepting, you know, the Trinity in the fullest sense of the term, Catholicism. Okay, so Bas Yisrael Shemira, okay, it's quite possible that she did so under enormous pressure of one kind or another, a reasonable assumption to make. Ubo aleha oved kochavim, right? And in that context of her having abandoned the faith, she had a relationship with an oved kochavim. Now remember, according to Rabbeinu Tam, let's do the halachic math. So bo aleha oved kochavim, what is the significance of that act? Well, he wanted to argue nothing, right? That we can essentially ignore that. It's not considered a ma'isabia. Ubo aleha oved kochavim. Again, this wasn't ba'onis at that point. Right? Vishuv nizgayer ima. And then flipped it around. That's why, again, I'm not entirely sure that it was under duress. Right? She could have been that she thought that this is the best thing, and then she turns him around and says, you know what? Let's go back to the faith of, you know, my youth. You know, can they stay married? Well, if you assume that there was an act of znus involved, so you'd have to consider the issue of Isser Labal, Isser Laboel. Like they weren't married, right, from a halachic standpoint. You know, when he and she, you know, she was Hemira, he was obviously an Obed Kochavim, but now there's Gior, you know, that's involved in his part. So can they stay together? Vishuvnis Gairim Alakaima Biyadus Loshayach Lamemar. Echad the bone is Israel Abal Israel Abal, but Bias of Eto Chavim David Kibias Behema. So Rabbeinu Tam wanted to infer from our Gemara that the only possible issue when it came to Bias Achashverosh, a goy, was an issue of Chilul Hashem. But there could be no consideration of Gilui Arayos. So the Gemara reads perfectly. Now again, you have to be able to square this with many other sugyos and shas. That's what the Rivam is so concerned about, as we'll see in just a moment. But the idea itself is a fascinating one. Just like there's no Isser Labal, Isser Laboel generated when there's a sus or a chamor or a keleb that's involved, even though, of course, these things are all discussed in the Torah repeatedly, because that's not considered a maisa bia. It's considered a maisa bia in terms of an iser skila, but it's not considered a maisa bia in terms of iser labal, iser laboel. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam wanted to try to infer based on our Gemara. It's a remarkable idea. It would have obviously had massive and far-reaching implications and consequences for his community in his time. But the Hiksha Arifa. Go ahead, Ilan. What are you talking about? How could we possibly say that Bias Akum is outside of the scope of the din Isser Labal, Isser Laboel? How could you possibly say that it's not defined as a Maisa Bia in the natural sense of the term? Right, so clearly, right, based on the Gemara, we saw that Gemara inside, Ahasuerus isn't Jewish, and Esther and Mordechai have come to the incredible sacrificial decision, right, the Mesiras Nefesh that's involved, that they're going to terminate their marriage halachically to save the Jewish people. Again, we're not dealing with, you know, so can you make that decision? Aver lishma, hatzalas haram. It's a really interesting question. That's obviously the assumption, is that there are some things that can justify this kind of a behavior. But be that as it may, right, the Gemara clearly assumes that Ahasuerus being a goy isn't solving the problem. Okay?
Oh.
Right, we know that is a very tragic halacha, but if you have a woman that had a relationship with a non-Jew, then she is defined as Asura Lekohen, Isha Zonava Chalalolo Yikachu. Afal pi, that if she had had an earlier relationship with an okay, so the Bivam is not having any of Rabbeinu Tam's perspective. So the Bivam is obviously going to prefer to live with a kasha in this Gemara than to completely redefine how we understand what a Maisa Bia is. That's the choice the Rebbe is making. And he says the evidence from Shas, whether it's Ksubis, Yavamis, Megillah, is overwhelming. It's overwhelming against Rabbeinu Tam. Zirma Susim Zirmasam does not mean that there's no Maisa Bia, and therefore, because there's no Maisa Bia, again, Levi, which din is not triggered? Isser Labal, Isser Labal. Says, yeah, it is true that there's hafkos yichus when it comes to goy. The zare de obi kochavim hu da avkirei rachmana le'inin chias aval bias de obi kochavim lo ifkirei. These are two separate issues. So pray tell, if you're the Rivam, why did the Gemara wait, right, Yair? Why did the Gemara wait all the way to this stage to say, oh, but Esther, for Hesya Havi? Clearly, according to Rivam, it's Gilu Arayos Havi. And I'll tell you, he's not going to have a great reading of the Gemara. The Gemara is very dachuk, according to the Rivam, but we'll be able to extract a critical conceptual point. Let's just keep the momentum going. No, I might see you. Let me come back to you in 10 minutes after we analyze the Rivam's position in the Gemara, and then we'll talk about it at length, okay? Right, which again, Rabbeinu Tam answered, in his view.
Right,
Right, unfortunately, right, the child is going to be crushed. Okay, good. So let's hold it up there for a second. So the Rivam says the Gemara was willing to make a certain assumption. Once the Gemara established that, let's say, Oveid Avodah Zarah is based on V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, and Shvichas Damim and Gila Arayos are based on this idea of Ki Kasher Yakom Yishal Rei Uritzacho Nefesh Kena Davar Azeh, that passivity is a sufficient justification with respect to Gilui Arayos. But what the Gemara was not convinced of was that passivity would have been exculpatory with respect to Chilul Hashem. That's the reading of the Rivam. Now, it happens to be a difficult reading of the Gemara, but let's just try to assess it on conceptual grounds. Let's try to assess this on conceptual grounds. The Rivam is advocating a position with respect to the Gimel Chamuros, with respect to Gilui Arayos and Rotzeach, passivity surely would have been exculpatory. There's no din there of Teharek Val Tavo. And yet, from the Rivam standpoint, that does not solve our problem nor our question when it comes to the matter of Chilul Hashem. That's why the Gemara had to ask. The Gemara contemplated a scenario where an act, as far as Arayos was concerned, would never require one to sacrifice one's life. Your passivity is sufficient to relieve you of that halachic burden. But in terms of Chilul Hashem, whoever said that passivity suffices? That is remarkable, Havamina. That as far as the pure issue of Gilui Arayos is concerned, we're satisfied. There's no Maisa Avera. But maybe, says the Rivam, when it comes to Chilul Hashem, there's no need for a Maisa Avera. The whole idea of Chilul Hashem isn't predicated on what I did or I didn't do, but it's the impression which is generated. That idea itself is tantalizing. And then Abaya's answer becomes even more interesting. What's Abaya's answer? No. Karka Olam is sufficient to relieve any concern of Chilul Hashem. There can't be a Chilul Hashem here if there's no Maisa Avera. Does there have to be a crime for there to be an impeachable offense? For Chilul Hashem to be implicated, must there be a Maisa Avera? That's exactly what's at stake in the Gemara, according to Rivam. That's precisely what's at issue. Abaye's position is that if there's no Maisa Avera, one can't speak in terms of Chilul Hashem being triggered. What then is Rava's position? What then is Rava's position? It may very well be the case that according to Rava, it is possible that... Debbie, go ahead.
The only...
exculpatory factor as far as Chil Hashem is concerned would have to do with the intentions of the Anas. It does not rest with you. It's all, perhaps, a matter of perception. And even if we could exonerate you of any and all Maisa Aveira, perhaps that would not suffice. What matters here is whether or not the Anas has in mind an assault on your religious values. That will dictate whether or not your life must end here and must end now. Admittedly, the Rivam's reading of the Gemara textually is difficult. Conceptually, it's fascinating. And Abaye and Rava can be interpreted as debating the issue of whether Chil Hashem even requires a Maisa Aveira. Abaye taking the position that there has to be some kind of an Aveira for this to be considered a Chil Shem Shamayim. And Rava, at least according to some understandings, might be open to the position that there need not be any Maisa Aveira for there to be a Chil Hashem. But what matters is the nature of the encounter and the nature of the pressure that is being applied to the Yisrael in this situation. Hana'as atzman shayni. Ilan, let's carry forward a little bit. V'igaras tehareg, if that's really our gear. So remember, back and forth between Psachim, Yuma, and Sanhedrin. Is it yehareg val yavor, like Yuma? Is it tehareg, like we have in Sanhedrin and Psachim in our Girsos? V'igaras tehareg. You'll end up with the reverse reading, right, that in terms of the Chil Hashem, in terms of an act being done for Hesia, right, the Gemara did not consider that it would have actually helped for her to be Karka Olam. Okay. B'chinami Yesh Lefarish. This is now a fascinating coup de grace in Tosos. So when you're dealing with the male, it's always Yehareg Val Yavor because of the anatomical reality, I guess the anatomical physiological reality, of Ein Kishoy Elo Lidas. Fascinating. Now, the Balei HaTosos have generated, at least in theory, a certain kind of tour, even for a male to engage in an act of arayos. Yes, in kishoy eladas, but if he's kvar mikusha ve'omed, so that will relieve the pressure. He will not be considered to be active in any which way, and literally, if he doesn't take a step in any direction, ve'akum haviuhu al ha'erva, hasam vada yesh ones, ve'ein lo limsar atzmo, ve'ein lo. Not that he doesn't have to, but he shouldn't. He shouldn't, because the whole idea is predicated on the Rotzeach Gufei Minalan. Ki kasher yakum ish al re'eu ritzachon nefesh, kein adabar azeh, miyemar d'dama didach sumak tvei, dilma dama d'haugavra sumak tvei. Okay. So we have two radically different readings of the Gemara, and halachically speaking, two radically different understandings of what was going on with Esther and with Achashverosh. Rabbeinu Tam, on an island, clearly, Rabbeinu Tam would believe that when it came to Esther and Achashverosh, there was never going to be an issue of Gilui Arayos. Zirmas Susim Zirmasa. The only issue, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes, the only issue was a matter of Chilul Hashem. For Rabbeinu Tam, presumably, Kasher Avadati Avadati, Ein Meshibin Al Hagadah. There's just no way that he can reconcile that Gemara. There would be no Isser Labal, Isser Labal. Okay. Other Gemaras will remain, and do remain, problematic from the perspective of Rabbeinu Tam. The perspective of the Rivam, what's really at stake in the Gemara, has nothing to do with redefining the nature of Bias Akum. Bias Akum is a Maisa Bia L'chol Davar. It has nothing to do with Bias Behema. That Pasuk, Zirma Susim Zirmasam, is not related, in a halachic sense, to anything that would be of import to our sukkah. But what is interesting, fascinating even, according to the Rivam, are not the possibilities in terms of how we might reinterpret a Maisa Bia, but the question of Chilul Hashem. Can Chilul Hashem, this is the Rivam's decided Havamin in the Gemara, that Chilul Hashem can be done without any Maisa Avera. And Abaye and Rava seem to respond differently in terms of the Maskana. Abaye's response, no, Karka Olam solves that problem too. If there's no Maisa Avera, he lo asis a Maisa, hu avid ba Maisa, there can't possibly be a Chilul Hashem. But according to the Rivam, for Rava, there's good reason to assume that Chilul Hashem can take place outside of a Maisa Avera. Could be a matter of public perception, impression. That alone suffices for the most chamor of all Averos. Chilul Hashem, it's not enough for Tshuva, Yom Kippur, even Yisurin. Only Misa is Mechaperes when it comes to an Avon, Sheyesh Ba Chilul Hashem. Kol Mechalol Shem Shamayim Baseser, Difrain Mimenu Begaloi. It's a different category, with a different level of severity, altogether. Rava's response, Hanoas Atzman Shaini, shifts the burden. If it's clear, and maybe too, this is a matter of perception, if it's clear that the person is doing this, they're telling you to be Mechalel Shabbos so that they can feed their dog, they're telling you to hand over the Kvaki and the Dimuniki, the heating devices, because they don't want to be cold during their pagan festivity. It's clear that Achashverosh is having a relationship with Esther because he's Achashverosh. That's what he does. There's no Chil Hashem Hanas Atzman Shaini. It's a situation where everybody who's paying attention understands perfectly well what's going on over here. There's no Chil Hashem. There's an individual who's not in control, who's not engaged in any theological or religious act of oppression. One final point. The question as to whether or not Chil Hashem is contingent on a Maisa Avera certainly implicates a question that we've discussed over the last number of days. Dehainu, what is the relationship between Farhesia on the one hand, on the opposite extreme, the Gimel Chamuros, and that middle category, Shas Hashmad? Remember, we noted that in Rashi at least, it would appear that Shas Hashmad also required Bifarhesi, right? Rashi said, Lahamriches halavavos, and Lo yichalas Hashem bifnei asara mi Yisrael, even in the context of Shas Hashmad. Now again, Rava's answer, Hanoas Atzman Shaini, and therefore there's no perception, even if there's no Maisa Avera, doesn't matter. What matters is the perception. So therefore there's going to be no perception of religious assault, religious oppression, it would stand to reason, according to Rava, that that could only work in a kind of farhesia that was not also a shas hashmad. Because if the general context is one of spiritual oppression. The idea that Hanas Atzman could possibly be a Ptur seems odd. The whole idea of Shas Hashmad is that religion is under assault. Even the isolated kavana of a particular anas being lahanas atzmo might not help you in that situation. And so again, bein la'abaye, bein la'rava, there are many implications of their understanding back to the case of Shas Hashmad. Noah, thank you for your patience.
Another original case of Nashia, I have two questions. First, I don't really understand why, like, where is Isla Bala Sulava Panen? Doesn't seem like she was married in the beginning. Like,
right, but if a person has a znus relationship with an individual, and she doesn't appear, I agree, she's not just a Bas Yisrael Shehimira. So that znus would then generate a boel relationship to this particular Bas Yisrael, and then if they would try then to become married. Now again, there are other issues here that others point out. What about Gershon Iskar Kikatan Anola Dami? Rabbeinu Tam seems to be skirting that issue as well. So there would appear to be a stigma attached of he's the boel, and therefore there should be an iser that persists. No, we would not. That would not apply. This situation again, for Rabbeinu Tam, if you want to make the okimta that she's married, I totally understand that. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say that explicitly, but no, unless there is an issue, the only time that could possibly be an issue is when it comes up a little bit later on, if you had a woman who had been with a non-Jewish man, and then she wanted to marry a Kohen.
Okay. And then also, let's say you have, a Jewish woman who's married. According to Rabbi Yochanan, she has a kid with a non-Jew. Is that for the mamzer, or do you say, Tzir Masa?
No, so for again, this is also a very, very important point, is that for Rabbi Akiva, the answer would be yes, but we don't paskin like him. Rabbi Akiva holds that mamzerus is the product of even chiyuvei lavin. That would have dramatic implications, obviously, across the board. We paskin against that. We would say it has to be literally an iser arayos of kares, or worse, or misas bezdin, to generate mamzerus. So nobody's arguing that there's going to be an iser of kares or misas bezdin here. Oh no! If she were married,
yeah.
And there had if she were married to a Jew, and then she would have a child with a non-Jew, still that there's no yichus there.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's the last line where he says, "Afke rachman alizare." But in general, mamzeris can only come from a chiyuvei kares and a chiyuvei misas bezdin. Yeah. Levi.
I don't understand the second paragraph here on the revolution. Chadal Koy Kaka Ahai Esther Arayos Havai Dikim Le Dimahani Taima Karka Olam. Right, etc. So I don't understand that because Karka Olam is the answer, not the precept.
That's what we pointed out yesterday, that it's an exceedingly difficult reading of the Gemara. It's almost a contorted reading of the Gemara. What the Rivam is saying is that the Gemara, based on the previous lines, assumed that Karka Olam would solve the problem of Gimel Chamuros.
And now, Kamash Malah and Abayi Kamash Malah are going to also solve the problem of Arhefi.
Yes. I'm not suggesting for a moment that it's a simple reading of the Gemara.
And thank you. And I have another question about this, which is that he says that we basically learn Karka Olam from Mitzayach, from Rabbi Adda's baby carriage. And so my question is, I thought Karka Olam is based on the Lanara Los Asad Dovar, and it's not learned from Mitzayach.
Right. So when we talk about the Lanara Los Asad Dovar, the question is, what exactly are the parameters of that? For Rabbeinu Chananel, he basically collapses the two. says Lanara losasa davar means that she's in no position. She's been forced physically into this situation, and that's Lanara losasa davar, and that's all Karka Olam really means, right? But you can drive a wedge, as the other Rishonim did, between that case, Lanara losasa davar, right, that if somebody, you know, came and grabbed her, and then other situations where, as we said, there isn't that kind of physical coercion, but it's a generally coercive situation.
So why tell me, in that case, why tell me Lanara losasa davar? Why can't I just learn from that case from Ritzeach and then call the Chomer?
Why can't I learn what case from Ritzeach?
I learned the case of baby carriage from Ritzeach.
Right.
And then call the Chomer to the case of Tosa B'Yadayim or you know, the more extreme.
No, that may very well be true. Lanara lo sasa davar also just means that any situation of onus in halacha is not going to be subject to onshin. I mean, we'll see that in the Rambam also. That even if a person, let's say, you know, Lanara losasa davar has even broader implications. So let's say a person was really mechuyav to be moser nefesh. And they didn't, right? The anas goes up to them and says, you know, I'm going to kill you unless you kill Reuven over there. So the person kills Reuven. So there's no onesh based on Lanara losasa davar. Lanara losasa davar establishes a very important precedent in halacha that goes even beyond our case. You can't just collapse the two of them.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. And now that you mentioned that, I just want to ask, is Rabbi saying explicitly about the case you mentioned of Ritzicha? Because Ilan and I were thinking that maybe that's from North Dakota, maybe from Uriah, but maybe not from Ritzicha.
Right. You could have drawn that distinction. The Rambam says it applies across the board. Yeah. And that Havamina is a very, very worthy one. And it has to do, let me just sharpen your question for a second by highlighting it in a slightly different way. What about Ritzicha versus Avodah Zarah? This is really where I think the most interesting question is. When it comes to Ritzicha, there's good reason to say, you know, absent Vilanaros Losasa Davar, that we're going to hold you accountable because the nature of the Avera is that there's a victim here, right? There's a human victim. Yefshar lahachzir nefesh achas la'olam. They can never be brought back. When it comes to Avodah Zarah that's done be'ones, even if it was the wrong thing to do, right, you could have imagined being more lenient. Clearly, there was no kabbalas elahus. So for all of Rashi's idealism, that your avas Hashem should be such that you wouldn't even want to give anyone the impression that you were modeh be'avodah zarah, right? That's the ideal. That's what we should strive for. But if somebody failed that test, right, you could imagine being more lenient with such a person than somebody failing a Yehareg Vel Yavor test in terms of Shichas Damim. I think that's the point that you're getting at, which is that in one case, even if there's equal coercion applied, right, it was at the pain of your life, right, the nature of the Avera is still fundamentally different in terms of the victim. You know, you'd imagine that a Kel Rachum V'Chanun could be a little bit more forgiving than Reuven, in my case, who ended up dead. And that's really what I think the strength of the question is. But be that as it may, the Rambam applies it across the board. Speaking of the Rambam, and Mirza Shem will have a chance to get to this on Thursday. We'll have to cover quite a bit of ground tomorrow in terms of the Ramban as well as the Ran, and then try to do the Rambam on Thursday. Even if we have a little bit left over from the Ran, we can still probably get the Rambam in on Thursday. Is that this whole construct that the Rivam develops in our Gemara, that we have two completely separate issues. One of them, the Gimel Chamuros. The second question, the question of Chil Hashem, the Rambam repudiates that entirely. The Rambam believes the entire discussion is one of Kiddush Hashem. He'll start off Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Parakei with the words Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh Shenemar V'Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael V'Shelo L'Chalo Shenemar V'Lo S'Chalo Hashem Kodshi. And then he'll start going through all the cases. So for the Rambam, the Mechayiv is always one and the same. You would have never said, oh, Karka Olam, that's a Ptur for, you know, Chumras HaAveira. that's not going to be a p'tur for, you know, Chil Hashem. The Rambam didn't see it that way. He thought that this Gemara was a continuum. All the cases. Chamuros, Shas Hashmad, Bifarhesia. You know, the Bali Atosvos obviously were open to the possibility, yet there were stages of the Gemara, and these stages represented completely different Mechaivin. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so let's hold it up here.